Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are we taking us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's my man, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
I am well. What a, in the words of Howard Cosell, what a game this turned out to be.
Ah, it was amazing. Classic Jameis.
Classic vintage Jameis. We'll get to it momentarily. It really was. When they send that guy to the Hall of Fame, they should send that tape in with him. Oh, what's that? He's not going to the Hall? Okay. But that would be like, this represents your career tape.
Yeah, this is it was the classic Jameis game. And hey, if he's not on your team, if you're not betting on him, would you rather watch anybody else? That's all I got to ask.
Oh, God. We'll get to that. I just want to say we have Drew Densick coming up, the Whale Capper, of course, from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcasts. We will talk to Will Hill, all his bets. Paul Carr coming off the old clean sweep 3-0. He'll be here to talk Premier League with us. And Peter Futak, Heisman voter. Going to ask him straight up, who are you voting for? Actually, before I even ask him that, you know what I'm going to ask him? Because all these Heisman voters are deadbeats, these 938 deadbeats. I'm just going to ask him, did you already send it in before the championship games? Because they literally mail in their votes, I think.
We do need to get a timing update. I don't know how that works these days.
The deadline is after these championship games. December 9th is the deadline. But because they're deadbeats, let me just repeat that.
They don't take
their votes seriously. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they mail them in. Literally, it would be great if they mailed them in. Because you could say, oh, you just mailed in your vote, you know.
Are we still using fax machines for national letters of intent?
Fax, telex, I don't know.
That was mind-blowing 10 years ago, and now we're in 2024.
Let's talk about this game last night. Broncos 41, Browns 32. I just want to ask you this off the top. If you're a Browns backer here, whether game, whether first half, whether in games, but let's just talk about the pre-flop. Full ATS.
Sure.
Is this one of the worst beats? I won't hold you to the worst beat of the year. Is this one of the worst beats of the year? Or is it, hey, you bet on Jameis, you should have known what you were getting into?
Okay. It's a great question, first of all.
Thank you.
Because from my perspective, it's definitely the second one, but I feel bad for you today if you had Browns tickets.
This is brutal.
You gotta know what you're signing up for.
Brutal. Let's just pick it up when it's 14-10 Broncos, late second quarter. So the Browns have the ball trying to cover the first half spread. They don't know they're covering the first half spread, but we do. All right. First,
Sammy Gill bet the first half spread.
First and 10 at the Denver 29. Jameis right to Nick Benito. 71 yards to the house, 21-10 Denver with 1:38 in the second quarter. And then Jameis, just to spite everybody, has a spite drive where he quickly engineers an 11-play, 70-yard drive all through the air. Jameis to Njoku on third and goal at the 4, 21-17. Cleveland has themselves a double-dip opportunity. But that is, again, he had already thrown two completions for 44 yards before this, one to Jerry Judy, who had the greatest game of his career, and then one to Elijah Moore earlier of 44 yards. And then on this drive, it's all on Jameis's arm, but it's the spike drive after he throws the pick six to Benito. Mm-hmm. And by the way, let me just say this. If you watch this game, if you watch every play, Jameis ended up with three interceptions, two pick sixes. He could have had at least four other interceptions.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Every ball he throws is in this minuscule window where Jameis says to himself, Jameis, I can do this. And he just rifles it into the smallest. You're just like, oh, every play, you're like, oh, my God.
I love the confidence.
Is that what your take was on that? That's pretty good. 21-17 Broncos at the half. At the halftime, Winston had 245 yards passing with the one pick six. Judy was 5 for 97 receiving. And it was a 298-141 total yards advantage for the Brownies. All right, same score. Denver, 3rd and 11 from their own 7. Nix to Mims for 93. What a pass. What a pass by Bo Nix.
It was incredible.
And Mims is always making plays. 28-17 Denver, 10 minutes left in the third quarter. But the next drive, first play, Jameis is like, watch this, to Judy for 70, toasting Levi Wallace. They were just killing Levi Wallace. Two-point conversion to Judy. It's 28-25 Denver with 9:50 left in the third quarter. 9:50 left in the third quarter. Jameis has 336, 9.1 yards per attempt. Judy, 6 for 167 and a touchdown. I mean, these are like, at this point, you're like, okay, what are the records for both of these? 554 is the record for passing yards in a game. Norm Van Brocklin, 336 Flipper receiving yards. The great Flipper Anderson, not so great, but the one of the all-time very good Flipper Anderson. Okay, so 28-25. Let's move it forward. This is later now. Jameis to Judy for 35 to start a drive. We're in the fourth quarter now. Later on 3rd and 8 to Michael Woods for 14, then on 3rd and 15 to Judy for 17, eventually to Chubb from 5 out in the end zone. 32-31 Cleveland, 8:57 left. Winston's got 446 at this point. Judy's got 219. And the Browns have 503 total yards. Denver, 4th and 1 at the Cleveland 9 with 2:57 left, down a point. Sean Payton thinks to go for it. Joe Buck then mysteriously announces that analytics say kick the field goal. What analytics are you looking at? Payton changes his mind. He opts for a Lutz 27-yard field goal. Were you okay with that at the time?
I was okay with it. I was okay with it, yes.
I couldn't understand anything that was happening. I was like, Joe Buck, what? Analytics all of a sudden says kick the field goal there?
I was confused by that
too. Yeah, I was too. Okay, 34-32, Lutz hits the field goal. 34-32, Denver. Cleveland gets the ball with 2:54 left. You're like, come on. Just, you know, you could win the game here. All you need is a field goal, but it's Jameis, right? Jameis is sacked immediately. Browns get behind the sticks. 3rd and 12 with their own 28. Jameis across the field to Elijah Moore for 14. Amazing catch, keeping both toes down to the sideline. 1:59 to go. Denver elects not to challenge it and waste their last time out. Next play, Jameis looking for Elijah Moore, picked by Jaquan McMillan, untouched, gets up, 46 to the house, and there you have it. Elijah Moore, by the way, the intended receiver, doesn't even try to tag him down.
Yeah.
He's out of bounds. He's lollygagging. He's like, oh, well, it's a pick. What am I going to do about it? How about run back on the field and tag him down?
I don't really understand how we see that as often as we do. Like, what does the receiver think? There's always going to be someone that's going to come over and touch him down. Like, I don't get that.
41-32 Denver at this point. And if you're back in Cleveland, you're like, This cannot be happening. But you know what? You have the ball again with 1:48 left. Cleveland, 4th and 10 at their own 25 to Judy for 16. Most receiving yards ever in a game versus a former team. Jerry Judy last night. 235 yards on 9 catches. So they matriculate. Subsequent PI to the 2-yard line. You got the ball at the 2. All they have to do is punch it in. That's it. They're going to cover. You deserve this cover, Cleveland Browns backers. You deserve it. And Jameis, Kelly, when I say Cody Barton is right in front of him, and he goes,
so bad.
Boop. Here you so go, Cody. Bad. Here's the ball. What in the world? Oh, he throws man. It right to Cody Barton of the Broncos. That's it. Broncos cover. Jameis, the quintessential Jameis game. 497 yards passing. Remember, again, the record is 554, so he's only 57 yards shy of that, but he has 3 picks, 2 of which are returned the other way to the house. So in the end, do you want that? It's just Jameis. Here's Optostats putting this in context. This is amazing that someone thought to put this together. Optostats saying Jameis Winston threw for 497 yards tonight. The Broncos also had 171 interception return yards against him. The 668 combined passing yards plus interception return yards off of his passes is the most by any quarterback in a single game in NFL history. Of course, you should really subtract the 171 from the 497, not add it. Details.
Details.
But
hey,
still.
You look at it either way, all right?
Jameis looks to a higher power to help him out with this problem that he has.
I am a better player, you know, but in times like this, you know, that's... It's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's just That's not me. Like, phenomenal game, offense, do some great things, but I messed it up.
Well, I wish the Lord had told me that Christmas tree was going to be this heavy this past weekend.
Best part is,
I figured that'd be his department. He didn't tell me that either. Listen, Jameis, the Lord first has to tell you to stop throwing it into little small windows. That, I mean, that's the thing. Again, three picks, two of which went the other way, but it could, there could have been four other picks at least in that game.
I just like, Jameis, it's not me. Bro, it's been you your entire career, man. It's all good. Like, we love you for it. Like, man. It's been you your entire career. What was the 30-30 season, the legendary 30-30 season where he needed to throw a pick six right for them to get to overtime so he had a chance to get the 30-30?
And like, he did.
And he did. Like, that's been you the whole time, man.
We were actively rooting for him to go 30-30 that year.
I was at the D cheering like a madman for that.
All right, last two things on this. How bad is Deshaun Watson that Jameis could do this with his offense? Deshaun Watson was they couldn't move at all.
I don't. But what are we talking? We've been yelling this for months. What are we talking about?
By the way, how can someone explain to me how Deshaun Watson got this bad?
Because
he didn't used to be this bad. How does that happen? And then the other thing I say is the Broncos go to 8-5. They are in playoff position already. They are even more solidified in it. Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, in your mind, a coin flip right now for rookie of the year?
I'd have Daniels ahead, but.
And I think the market reflects that.
Yeah.
Jaden with a slight edge. But if you look at their stats, they're pretty darn similar.
I don't even know. Like, Jameis takes over the game so much last night. Like, I don't really even know what to take away from the Denver side. Like, it was just a track beat.
What a game this turned out to be. Gosell used to say that when it was a bad matchup and it still turned out well.
If I don't have money on it, give me Jameis every time. So fun.
Jameis just killing Browns backers at every turn. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Ready to elevate your tailgate game? You have to try Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From ribs and wings to a backyard burger, Sewell's takes every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. Let me spell it for you. SEWELLSBBQsauce.com. Man. Whenever you add a mason jar into the equation, just the image of that.
Yep.
Looks good. Tastes good. Give me some now. All right. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from James Moran at Jigs44. He says, is there a rule I'm missing? When trying to get a defense to jump off sides with a hard count, only to let the play clock run all the way down and take a delay a game, why don't more teams instead try to have an offensive lineman move a little bit to get a jump? Well, if you could perfect that and go under detection from the officials, then that's one thing. I think it's a lot harder to pull off than you're making it out.
Did you catch that play last night? False start?
Oh, which one?
Yeah, wasn't that last night's game? Yeah.
Bo Nix did one last night where at the end of it, he goes, jump off sides.
I saw that video. How do we get these videos these days, by the way? That was like, did you see the real close-up of that?
No, what did he?
I mean, it had to be someone like shooting from the end zone, but I saw his whole face while he was calling it. Yeah.
Steve Cohen at the Steve Cohen 21, not that Steve Cohen. He says, Gil, son, I say, son, I do declare that was a great Guessing Lions show yesterday. Thank you. This is from Straight Cash Homie. He's upset about the NFL MVP talk. He says, NFL MVP award is so dumb. In what world is Saquon Barkley not MVP of the league? Just call it the best quarterback award. Josh Allen has been good, but not remotely close to Barkley this season. This is from Teasers and Parlays. Really hoping Gil doesn't pull a Gus Johnson and lose his voice recapping the game last night during the first segment. So much back and forth. I almost did. C. Spackler sold the house, bought an RV, sitting on the kid's couch and waiting to pick up the RV. I have 2 solid hours of a numbers game. Fighting boredom. Save me a numbers game. You're my only hope. Bruce Dobigan sitting here in West Palm. Never knew it was Kelly on the local ESPN radio back in the day. FAU hasn't been the same since he left.
I had a big impact on that program.
We'll toast him at Guanabana tonight.
Guanabana's Jupiter. Good drinking spot right on the water.
Stringfellow Hawk. Jameis giveth, Jameis taketh away.
That's right.
Snarky Finn. I had Browns +6 pre-flop and +10 live almost lost them both with those late antics. Charles in Connecticut, I had Denver -6 at the last leg of a 5-team parlay. When Denver kicked the field goal to go up 34-32, I knew I lost my bet. And then as if game hadn't been crazy, the full-speed Jameis experience kicked in the last 2 minutes. I won bet, lost bet, won it again. What a ride. Doug Tuttle, I'm looking to the Lord to help me with bad picks as well. Sean Higgs, the Christmas tree should be in his department. Oh, classic Gil. Yes, Las Vegas 514, yo, and the congregation said amen. And Jason H11, I do declare the good Lord couldn't hit a 2-iron and sure as heck can't thread the needle in the places Jameis is trying to throw it. That is for sure, man. Again, every pass is an adventure. You're like, is he going to get it in? Oh, my God, how did he get it in?
That was crazy.
And then until he does it, and it goes the other way.
Yeah, that
way.
Was that fourth down play where the clear false start.
Call it. Yeah. There was a sequence last night. We'll get to Drew here, but there was a sequence last night where the officials like missed three things in a row from both teams. There was a face mask on Jaleel McLaughlin on one of his 17-yard runs where they missed that entirely. Then there was the 4th-and-1 at their own 39 where Jameis, false start uncalled.
Yep.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then Jameis got helmeted. Those are consecutive drives, all of those. They missed them all. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at whale_capper. He is the host of not just the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, but also NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jake Croucher. Drew joins us now from Long Beach. How you doing, man?
Oh, doing well. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. And it was an incredible weekend of football and betting up until the blown cover by the Browns. That was a tough one. But, you get what you sign up for when you bet on Jameis Winston. And I will tell you that that game was infinitely more entertaining with him involved. And I will take it.
That was my question in the first segment. One of the worst beats of the year, or you shouldn't have known better, you were betting on Jameis? Which is, it's both, right?
It was one of the worst beats of the year. And I mean, I guess like there's all this focus on Jameis's, part, which is fair because, his picks, the pick six really kind of sealed it. I honestly think on that drive, if they avoid the turnover, they probably go down and score. And I don't know if there's enough time left for the Broncos to return. I think I kind of want to give credit to the Broncos defensive players. There were some incredible plays made in that game by a number of them. Benito, his pick six was incredible. Just unbelievable anticipation on where Winston was going to go with the ball. And then getting in front of the tight end was a nice, impressive athletic move. And then the catch made by McMillan, staying in bounds, getting up and getting that home was insane. I would have appreciated it if he had taken a knee at the 5 or something.
Elijah Moore didn't think to run 3 steps back in bounds and him down, and Jameis didn't pursue him on the run back at all. What was that?
That was frustrating.
So
that
bad.
Part was frustrating. But yeah, I mean, I think lost a little bit in the mix here is the Broncos defense got torched all night.
And they got torched.
There's some clear problems there.
Yep.
But man, they made some standout plays when they had to, and that was pretty impressive. And I hold up the Jameis Winston 3-pick game against the Kirk Cousins 4-pick game, and there's clearly a player in Winston that I would like to see more of, and there's clearly a player in Kirk that we've seen it all. It's over. And I'm not exactly sure why the Falcons continue to go to his defense like he's some sort of, work in progress. It looks pretty clear that he's deteriorated to the point he can't necessarily get it done anymore. And the picks were worse, honestly. Like, the Winston picks weren't that bad.
they were pretty bad. But the Cousins ones were just as bad. Yep.
The Cousins ones were, you could see those coming a mile away. And, The Falcons and the Browns are two teams that lost. And actually, that was kind of a weird common theme of the weekend. There were a lot of teams that outplayed their opponents that flat out lost.
Yes.
And that doesn't happen very often, but it happened 6 times this week.
Chargers were outplayed and won. Minnesota was outplayed, at least in the box score, and won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jets were outplayed. Jets outplayed the Seahawks and lost.
Yep.
Yeah. It was quite a lot of that this weekend. And, that will kind of stand out in my mind when I think about Thanksgiving weekend 2024.
Even the Ravens, by the way, were, kind of outplayed the Eagles. They kept trying, and the Eagles kept trying to give them the game. The Ravens couldn't do it. Obviously, the Chiefs were lucky to have won.
Patriots outplayed the Colts significantly and lost.
Yeah, a whole bunch of that this week. You're right. Almost half the games. Before we get to your picks for Week 14, we'll do that after the break. But one of the most recent times you were on, you gave your top five power rankings.
Sure.
And they had a big reaction. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
Let me hear your updated top five, if you would.
So again, I guess the kind of important thing to qualify here is that I have there is very, very little margin right now for me across the top five. Like, these teams are all within a point of each other, and no one has separated themselves. But right now I would begrudgingly put Buffalo first. I would put Baltimore second. I would put Philadelphia third. I have the Lions fourth, and I have the Chiefs fifth.
Now, no one's going to listen to your preamble, right? Let's just establish that. You just gave a very good preamble where you're like, okay, they're all five. They're bunched together.
All they're going to hear.
Everybody has purged that. And all they heard was who was four and five?
I would put Lions fourth and Chiefs five. I'm clearly way lower than the market on the Lions. And this has been a weird season of like old school tropes being very real. And I'm not trying to say that this is a continuation of that theme, but it surely to me feels like the Lions are the team that peaks too early. I don't know that we have much more to see from them offensively. I think that they got the best luck health-wise they could have asked for on the offense to this point in the season. And they have had now some seriously consequential bad luck defensively that is really starting to affect that unit. And if the defense is unable to, kind of create additional opportunities for the offense, then the offense is not going to look as good as what we saw in the month of October and November. So Lions to me look like they might be in a little bit of a potential to slide. And I think the Eagles are kind of quintessentially the team that, is peaking at the right time. The team that no one's going to want to play. And I think there's clear and obvious scope for the Eagles to run down the Lions and get the one seed.
Who? Packers plus 3.5 for Drew. Just writing it down now.
is that correct? Are you taking the Packers plus the points?
Yeah, I think that one's on the wrong side of the number three. And I bet the Packers when they lost to the Lions last time. So it's not, I'm not being inconsistent here. I think that in general, the loss of Hutchinson for a while didn't matter. They found interesting, unique ways to scheme. I think that was in large way because their linebacking core and their safeties were playing out of their minds. And now they've lost two of those linebackers for the season. And I think that is going to be clear and obvious when they play a Packers team that is really anchored to Josh Jacobs' performance and has so many weapons they can hurt you with in the passing game.
Hey, real quick on the way out, where do you have the Niners ranked?
I'm actually a little bit under neutral right now with the injuries that they've sustained. I think they're probably like in the 16-17 range.
It's a body count now, that's for sure.
It's all bad. Right.
Drew's Week 14 picks besides the Packers. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights with expert breakdowns of the week's biggest matchups to deep dives into betting strategies and trends. VSiN delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Right now, you can check out articles like Greg Peterson's College Basketball Best Bets. The man is a machine.
Hoops.
La Machina. Josh Applebaum's Early College Football Insights, Steve Mackinnon's College Football Analytics Report, and later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets and Player Props, Adam Shine's Shine 9, and Jonathan Davis's Top NHL Best Bets. Right now you can sign up for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. There's a lot of nining going on in there. A
lot of nines.
Adam Shine, Shine 9 for $9.99. Right here at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book, best listeners in the game, the numbers guys. Can someone get Joe Buck a copy of the King James Book of Analytics? Tell me about it. And also Buck says, and I paraphrase, Peyton is the only coach of the year candidate doing this with a rookie quarterback. He would mention Dan Quinn a minute later, but missed the keywords I misspoke. Yeah, I caught that. I mentioned the analytics.
I didn't hear that one. That's good.
I mentioned the analytics thing in the first segment, but yes, he also did that. He's like, oh, he's doing it with a rookie quarterback. No one's doing that. Hello.
I didn't catch that one. That was good.
Hello. James Sott, as a Browns backer, can't even be mad about it, Jameis. I was entertained, especially as you guys pointed out how bad Watson became. I don't know if it's his conscience, consciences. He's only got one conscience. or what, but he's not even a good backup at this point. Where does he rate in the backup rankings? He's not even in the top 15. He's not even. Ryan Thompson, tough call between the worst bad beat of 2024 in the NFL between Cleveland last night and Tennessee week one at the Bears. Thanks, ill-advised Billy Levi's. Well, there's also the Hail Mary with Jaden Daniels. There's a bunch of them.
There's a lot of them.
Hoops by Hoots. We have to give Jameis his own primetime sitcom at this point, complete with laugh track and co-stars. So true. Rocket Morton. How could Watson get so bad? Trolling Craigslist and flying a massage therapist in for happy endings has consequences. Wives and girlfriends look at him with disdain. You just don't shake off that kind of shame. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is that. Maybe it is that.
Who knows?
That messed up his mechanics? Maybe. Vegas regular. How come everything tastes better in a mason jar? You're right. Whether it's a soda, cold lemonade, beer, or cocktail, everything. It's really true.
Yeah, I was just thinking
ice in a mason jar and pour a soda over it. Tastes better.
I was just thinking about sweet tea. Sweet tea in the South out of a mason jar. I drank so much in North Carolina last year.
Stopped both of us in our tracks.
You were doing the Soulsbury. We started talking about that. That's all I started thinking about was a sweet tea sounds good right now.
Brian M., I have developed a path for an easy Vikings cover this week against the Falcons. They put Justin Jefferson out on defense, and Cousins' muscle memory just throws the ball right to him, not looking at anyone else on the field. It's a good strategy. Drew Denson, kind enough to join us for segment number two from the LBC, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, you can follow him at whale_capper. Deep dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Before we get back to football, last day of the NBA Cup group stage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I really
Detroit basketball.
what do you have tonight? What are you sweating out in terms of a future here?
I have nothing in the NBA Cup. They've taken away my edge in these games because they make them all neutral rest. And they honestly, like, the way that they've been played so far has been very confusing. Some teams have taken it very seriously and others are just kind of mailing it in. So I'm on the sidelines tonight. I'd like to see. I mean, the kind of the key teams to watch are, you're going to need to watch point differential for teams who are going to beat out Boston for the fourth spot in the East, I think. That includes Detroit, as Kelly mentioned. So I obviously have personal interest and my numbers say Bet the Magic every single time they play a basketball game. Actually, yeah, if you want to know what my numbers think about the Magic, they say Bet the Magic. In general, the East is kind of more drama tonight because of the potential of seeding. But the NBA has been super fun this season. The NBA Cup games themselves have been very thoughtfully scheduled, which has made the non-NBA Cup days like wildly awesome in terms of rest disadvantages. And so I've been kind of feasting on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Getting my tail kicked on Sunday for some reason.
You pointed that out to us before the Cup started, though, that they had made it so perfect with rest. They intentionally made the rest equal on Cup days. But the discrepancy came, or the difference, I should say, the huge difference was on sort of the days after, if you will, the Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Wednesdays. Yeah. Wednesdays have been pretty spectacular. And I would particularly circle the teams that, give you max effort tonight as hot fades tomorrow.
What are you sweating tonight? Anything?
I got a couple. I'm involved in a couple games, though, where there's not really much NBA Cup implications. Like, I have the Rockets tonight in Sacramento. That Kings team has been a disaster so far. Drew, I don't know where you're looking at in that one. And then I'm on the Raptors catching points with the Pacers coming to town, which is really gross, but that Pacers team's been pretty ugly here recently, too.
Any of your group stage stuff in play?
Yeah, I got Detroit 11-1 to win that group. So I did hedge a little bit with the Bucks because they're playing really well right now, but yeah. Detroit win would be very nice tonight.
All right,
a couple quick thoughts real quick, please. On NBA. So Kings, I actually think are a bet to win the Pacific at 25-1. They have the best offense, and those teams, again, kind of same kind of conversation about the top five in the NFL. The top five teams in the Pacific Division right now are separated by a hair. The Warriors have taken a huge step back in the absence of Melton. The Lakers still need to make a trade to have a complete roster. Kawhi Leonard may be coming back, around Christmas, may play 30 games. Who the heck knows? And the Suns are pretty fragile in terms of injury to any of their top guys. So Kings are they're weird. Their defense is not great. Fox has taken a huge step forward. And I think they're probably a bet on right now. This is maybe a good buy low for them in a division that's very, very close. Kelly mentioned the Bucks. I have been perennially cold Bucks. You know, when their numbers came out last year after the Lillard trade, I was kind of appalled. Win total stuff, none of it was even in the right area code to where I made that team. They finally got to the point where I am now rating them above market for the first time in the Lillard Giannis era. So something has finally started clicking with the advanced stats in terms of what they're doing. I haven't seen it eye test wise to tell you what it is. I guess hat tip to Doc Rivers, because I kind of felt like the way they started, it was just over. They're rating top four for me right now and second in the East.
The Warriors haven't been the same since they squandered that like 18 and 17 point leads on back-to-back games. That was just out of nowhere at the time. And then De'Aaron Fox, maybe the best superstar that nobody knows about at any sport, kind of in exile
right
there.
Right now, I would put him as the second best player in the Pacific after Curry, and it's very close. And the Warriors had they absolutely hit a grand slam. With the Melton signing, he was the perfect player on the court next to Curry, and his absence with the ACL injury just absolutely crushes them.
Yeah, I know people know about De'Aaron Fox. I should be more precise. That people talk about. No one talks about De'Aaron Fox in that sort of realm. All right, back to the NFL. You have the Packers. You're taking the Packers plus the points against the Lions on Thursday night. What are you doing on Sunday and Monday?
Yeah, week 14 is going to be a make or break for me for the season, probably, because my edges are like surprisingly large for this time of year in a bunch of these games. And I haven't completely filled out my card, you know, top to bottom yet. But I was kind of blown away at a bunch of numbers. And the Rams stand out to me, obviously, as on the other side of three. I think my fare on that one is about 2 points, 2.5. And so I'm, you know, catching a huge amount of value there, taking the 4.5. And that's the biggest edge on my card this week. I haven't pulled the trigger on this, but I'm nowhere even in the same area code as Jets at 6.5. there's enough whiffs of quit around the Jets that I may ultimately pass on that one, but nothing. I can't come up with an explanation that gets this game to 6.5. Outside of the fact that the Dolphins are home and they have extra rest off the Thursday night game. My number on the Chiefs is saying bet the Chiefs against the Chargers. I think the Chargers' offensive injuries are flying a little bit under the radar. Chiefs have a hair extra rest here, second week on a row in a row on the road for the Chargers. My numbers say this one should be closer to 6. The Ladd McConkey news is probably the most important one to watch. Without him and without J.K. Dobbins, this Chargers offense is extremely thin in terms of skill, and their offensive line has taken a step back for whatever reason. So the Chiefs may be able to generate a little bit of pressure. And I think if nothing else, this is, you know, kind of put up or shut up if you're going to kind of stamp your you know, impression on the AFC prior to, the Christmas Day game against the Texans. So Chiefs, Christmas Day against the Steelers, my bad. This is a big one for the Chiefs to really show up, I think.
Justin Herbert, 147 yards passing this past weekend, 117 of which were to McConkey. So there you go, just for some context. And I think I'm with you on the Rams. I am coming around to that. Rams plus the points against the Bills. I like that matchup with the Rams running game against that Bills D, who lets you run, right?
Yeah.
Here, go ahead, run.
Rams can still win the West.
Oh, man. Drew, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Drew's jogged some bets for us in our heads. We'll do number one seeds next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of guy who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? What kind of gal? or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, well, you need to know about SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade is live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, now Virginia. Download SportTrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply, got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eddie Vegan Runner. I hear eggnog in a mason jar is really good, Kelly.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it. Can't try it. I'm done on eggnog.
T. Sheldahl. Hey, man, how many matriculates were in that game last night? I lost count. It actually wasn't a big matriculate game because they were like huge plays.
Jameis doesn't play matriculation games. Come on.
Talk about matriculate, man.
Yeah, jeez.
Dave Ross. Hey, I know Dave Ross.
I know that guy.
Dave Ross, who hosts the Lombardi Line right before us. He says, I apologize to Gil and Kelly if there's any excess coffee on the VSiN set today. Apparently, he had to put down a coffee tumbler today. Was that, he had a disaster.
He was having some issues out here, yeah. Okay. He was having some issues.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, Dave, as long as you didn't spill on yourself mid-show, that's all that really matters.
Hey, we got the number one seed markets coming up. Before we do that, can I give a documentary recommendation? People know where this is going. You have to know where this is going. Yacht Rock, HBO Max. Have you seen this yet?
No. There's also way too, like, you just said people have to know where this is going.
Well, because I'm about to recommend it, so they probably know that I'm into this.
But, like, there are new docs on these streaming services, like, every day. So, like, no, I don't know if people really knew that.
Yacht Rock. First of all, I hate the term Yacht Rock because it diminishes what this music is, right? Mm-hmm. Yacht Rock, by the way, it's Bill Simmons executive produced. Bill Simmons executive produced also gave us the 1999 Woodstock one, which is one of the great documentaries ever. But this one is it diminishes that time. The Yacht Rock was a term developed by some streaming comedy group to sort of give a catch-all phrase to this type of music, which is late 70s, early 80s, talking about Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse, man.
Oh, it's great stuff. I love listening to it. I'm surprised you have a problem with the name. It needed a more succinct name to tighten it all up.
Well, what other
70s, 80s?
They pointed this out at the end. What other genre of music gets named 25 years later with some term?
I don't know, but doesn't it say something about the staying power of those types of songs?
Well, it says
or the resurgence of those songs.
Well, it says that it's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But, like, you know, they try to wedge Steely Dan into it. Steely mm-hmm. Dan doesn't. I grew up on what they call Yacht Rock. Steely Dan was not part of that group. Steely Dan was a much different vibe to it, much more musically precise. Like, they were true amazing musicians. Not that these guys weren't, but Steely Dan was another thing. Steely Dan sort of blended all kinds of stuff. But this is, I recommend this documentary. If you have any sort of relationship with the late 70s or early 80s and this kind of music, which is just spectacular. Just, it's a lot of Fender Rhodes. It's just a groove. It's tremendous. You go to Yacht Rock stuff here in town.
I was going to say,
you?
I'll have to check it out. I was just looking up when Yachtly Crew is going to be in town next to play at the Palms, which I've seen twice. Amazing time both times. Everybody's wearing like a captain hat and everything like that. We're going December 28th. Write it down. Saturday night. Yep.
I guess we're going December 28th. Guess that's what we're doing.
It's a great time.
JC questionable call on ESPN WP says, yes, Bruce, but did you listen to me and Kelly do Saturday mornings together on ESPN 106.3 at 10 a.m.?
That's my guy, Josh Cohen.
Back in the spring, summer of 2013.
That's right.
It's your guy, Josh Cohen. And Jeff Staples, matriculate. I'm just hoping not to throw another pick six. That's exactly what Jameis has to say. All right, number one seed markets. Again, Yacht Rock, HBO Max. Check it out. Telling you. Thank me later. Number one seeds. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to start with NFC?
Sure.
All right.
NFC. This one's less interesting to
no,
me?
No, I think it's much more interesting. I think it's much more interesting. NFC, you have four candidates, and we have listed four. I think four realistic candidates, right? You have the Lions, who have one loss at minus 160. The Eagles are plus 190. They're 10-2. Lions are 11-1. They're minus 160. The Eagles and Vikings, who are both 10-2, the Eagles are plus 190, and the Vikings are 7-1.
Yeah.
is for the number one seed. Remember, there's only one team that gets a bye now that there are seven teams in each conference that make the postseason. And the Packers, who have three losses, they're 30-1. 30-1. Now, you can throw out the Packers to me because not only do they have the three losses, but their schedule's difficult.
But
they're 9-3.
Their schedule's difficult, but they play two of these teams that are on here.
They do. They play the Lions this week. Now, if you believe they beat the Lions this week, right, then maybe you consider it. Maybe you consider it. But it's for the same, well, it's not for the same reason. It's for different reasons that I actually like the Eagles. I like the Eagles at plus 190. I think this is a bet. Because if you look at the Lions, if you look at the Eagles' remaining schedule, Philadelphia Eagles, who are 10-2, and believe me, I'm no fan of Philadelphia Eagles, but they have Carolina at home, Pittsburgh at home, at Washington, home Dallas, home Giants. They're going 4-1. They're going to lose to the Commies, but they're going to win all the others, right? That's from my perspective.
Okay.
So if they go 4-1, they end up with three losses. The Lions, and by the way, the Lions right now, they play at, they play Green Bay, then Buffalo. Let's say they split those. Then they have at Chicago, at San Francisco, Minnesota. They can figure out a way to lose one of those at the end. I don't know. I'm not so sure Philadelphia is not the bet at plus 190. And could you imagine after this season, the Lions not having the number one seed?
It'd be wild.
You like the Packers at 30-1? You would bet that?
No. I just wanted to throw. I just think there are more. I think all four of these teams, I wouldn't be shocked if one of them ended up there. I think the pricing is actually a little insulting on Minnesota of where they're at. I mean, especially since they have what, a game against the Lions and the Packers. We talked about that before. And they have, I mean, it's Falcons at home, Bears at home for them, Seahawks on the road, and then you get these straight up, you got Packers at home, and then you're on the road against the Lions. I would be running to make the bet. I just, that this pricing feels a little off to me, where if I had to make a bet, it would be on Minnesota at 7-1.
If you believe Green Bay beats the Lions, I mean, so much of this comes down to your Thursday night handicap. If you believe Green Bay beats the Lions outright, then it should allow for the possibility of either an Eagles or Packers bet.
Yeah, I think in both of these markets, right? When we go to AFC, right? Yeah. Drew just kind of mentioned that Bills-Rams game. That's big. It kind of depends if you like these teams this weekend.
It really does. None of us mentioned the Vikings, who are also 10-2. Apologies, Vikings. I don't even have you in my top 10 power ranked.
I just did. It's the only one I'd bet. If I had to bet right now, it'd be Minnesota.
They've got at Detroit to end the season. And they got at Seattle. They got home Green Bay. That's a tough ending to the season, though. Besides this Detroit game, they have a really tough schedule.
Falcons at home, Bears at home. I'm not really worried about that. Those are the next 2 weeks.
Excuse me, not Minnesota doesn't play Detroit this week, but they close at Seattle, home Green Bay, home Detroit.
Well, you got 7-1 in your pocket with going to those two teams. I don't know.
Okay.
Same record as the Eagles. I wouldn't make a bet in the NFC one. The AFC one, I was a little bit more intrigued by.
AFC, you agree it's a head-to-head between Buffalo and Kansas City?
Completely agree. Yes. And as much as I'm like, this game this weekend's tough, I agree with what both you and Drew said, that I feel like that line's a little off with that Bills-Rams game. I think there's probably a little value on the Rams side. Having said all that, can the Chiefs still continue to keep getting lucky? I think there's a little value on the Bills at plus 140.
The difference here is that the Bills have beaten the Chiefs. There is a head-to-head here. There's a head-to-head between the Bills and the Chiefs. So the Bills win every tiebreaker based on that alone. Chiefs have a one-game lead over the Bills. But if you believe the Bills lose to the Rams this week, or whatever your convictions are this week, right, this should then direct you towards, if you want to make a bet in this market, it should be correlated with what your handicap is for this weekend. I believe the Bills may lose outright to the Rams, so I would not bet the Bills despite the fact that they have the head-to-head. I would stay out of this market. And I also think the Chiefs have been unbelievably lucky, as most do, and as the sort of luck meters on some of these advanced analytics sites tell you that they have been. But so I'm not making a bet here. The one thing that I will say, though, is because I believe the Rams may beat the Bills outright, and it's based a lot on that, the Rams running back, Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, against the Bills defense that basically allows you to run the football. Mm-hmm. You know what that will make me do? Bet Lamar Jackson at plus 950, going back to yesterday for MVP.
There you go. That was weird, man. Even in that Sunday night game started off weird with both those defenses being like, all right, we're going to keep our safeties back. And it was like, well, what do you think they're going to do in the snow? Like, they're going to run it right at you.
The footing was also problematic. But that's how I would play that AFC one, is I wouldn't bet the number one seed. I actually, if you believe the Rams beat the Bills, which I do, then you bet Lamar Jackson plus 950, because if the Bills rack up a couple losses down the stretch, then it becomes much more even playing field in that department between Lamar and Josh Allen. That's the thinking anyway. That's how I would play
I agree with that.
Coming back, Will Hill, all his bets next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.